Hi, this is Dan. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I trust that it'll encourage you and build your faith. If you'd like to connect with me further, visit my website at revivalnow.com. You can find me on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at RevivalNowDanSteep and Twitter at RevivalNowDan. You can also download the Revival Now app. Enjoy the podcast and share it with a friend. Hi, I'm Dan Steep, and welcome to the Dan Steep Podcast. This episode, we're going to be looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Our text will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are endowments, these power gifts that are available to us when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have the gifts of the Spirit that are available to us, as well as the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22. And so we're going to look at nine gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they operate within our lives. And so I'm hoping that we can get through as many of these as possible. This might be a part one and part two. I'm really not sure yet, but let's dive into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And may God bless the reading of his word. So in the text here, we have the word manifestation, which was a word I was reaching for a moment ago when I couldn't grab a hold of it. These gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the life of the born-again, Spirit-filled believer. These gifts are blessings from God to enable us to reach souls, to reach the lost, and to deliver those souls from whatever demonic oppression and opposition that they may be bound in. And I can tell you, some people, they struggle to believe that people actually can be in bondage or under demonic oppression or even possession. But I've traveled the world, and I've had the privilege to minister in different parts of the world, and I can tell you that it's absolutely true. People not only need to be reached and saved, but they need to be set free. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are instrumental in not only reaching the lost, but setting them free. And the Apostle Paul tells us why we need to teach about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He says right here in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." He wants us to walk in the full knowledge and experience and understanding of these manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. There are people who think that these gifts of the Spirit are like things that like the super spiritual Christians operate in only. But no, they're not. This is basic Christianity in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wasn't just writing to quote-unquote super Christians. He was writing to all believers. And he said, I don't want you to be ignorant because God can't bless ignorance. Jesus said, you will know the truth. This is John 8:32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But you cannot be set free by a truth that you don't know. God wants to bless you, but he can't bless ignorance. And the Apostle Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Amen. He tells us in verses 4 to 7, there are administrations and operations of the Spirit. Basically, that's demonstrations and operations. And the manifestations are the outcomes. So you have demonstrations of the Spirit, you have of the gifts of the Spirit, and the operations of how they operate, and then you have the manifestations or the outcomes of those gifts. Amen. Because revelation without demonstration leads to frustration. So it's not enough to have a revelation of the administrations and operations of the gifts. We must also have the manifestations of those gifts. That's a critical part of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. And I think that it's important for people to understand that Jesus doesn't just redeem you so you can go to heaven. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And there are distinctives in each person's, you know, the purpose and plan that God has uniquely for your life, but then there are basic things that are just common to every believer. And the gifts of the Spirit are a part of that. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he quoted the prophet Joel 2:28, and it said, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." This is Peter standing up on the day of Pentecost, which was the birthday of the church, of the church age. And he's telling people that what they are seeing happening in and through those early believers when the Holy Spirit fell upon them is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And prophecy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. So there's a purpose and plan here on the earth that God wants to work through you. And it's all by the power of the Spirit of God. And souls are hanging in the balance. Souls are hanging in the balance, and the gifts of the Spirit are the gateway to bring in the harvest. John 2:23 says, "When he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name," speaking about Jesus, "many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did." So the gifts of the Spirit are essential for bringing in the masses and setting people free. People believed in Jesus based upon the signs that they saw him work. And those signs came through the operations of the gifts of the Spirit: healing, miracles, prophecy, all of those things. But when Jesus ascended to heaven, he left us a transitional power, the manifested gifts of the Spirit. When Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came to the earth, and he baptized and infilled those early believers, and then the Holy Spirit manifested his gifts through them. The manifested gifts of the Holy Spirit are everything that you need to carry out the will and purpose and plan of God for your life and for this earth. And all the gifts flow out of Christ himself. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, he himself, being Jesus, gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And that's just a listing of those office holders within the gifts of the Spirit and spiritual gifts in general. Amen. And they operate by faith. By faith, not by the flesh. And it makes God happy when we operate in his gifts. So let's dive into these gifts of the Spirit. There are nine of these gifts. They're listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it begins in verse 7, and it runs all the way down through verse 10. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, there's a listing of nine gifts of the Spirit. And I've grouped them in three separate groupings. There are the revelation gifts. The revelation gifts help us think like God. And in those revelation gifts, there is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. There are then the utterance gifts. The utterance gifts help us talk like God. And in the utterance gifts, there is prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And then the third grouping are the power gifts. The power gifts help us act like God or operate like God. They are gifts of healings, miracles, and faith. And I would suggest to you that in each of these three groupings of giftedness, there is one dominant gift amongst the three. So, for example, in the revelation gifts, you have the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and then the discerning of spirits. I believe the discerning of spirits is the dominant gift of those three revelation gifts. And the dominant gift of the utterance gifts is prophecy. There's prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And in the power gifts of healings, miracles, and faith, faith is the operative dominant gift within those gifts of the Spirit. We see the operation of the discerning of spirits is actually the very first gift of the Spirit that is manifested in the New Testament. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. And we see in the Apostle Paul's teachings in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 that prophecy is clearly lifted up as the more prominent gift among prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And then in the power gifts of healings, miracles, and faith, the reason the gift of faith is the most dominant one is because it's the gift of faith through which the other two power gifts, in fact, all of the gifts of the Spirit first operate through the gift of faith. The gift of faith rises up within a person to deliver a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, or to begin to operate in a gift of healings or miracles. So three categories of the gifts of the Spirit, the revelation gifts, the utterance gifts, and the power gifts. And within the three gifts of each of those categories, there is a dominant gift amongst the three. So let's dive into these revelation gifts of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. The word of wisdom. So prophecy is the prophetic gift of utterance that's spoken of in 1 Corinthians 14:3, where the Apostle Paul said, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." So that's prophecy. Now, knowledge relates to the discovery of truth, past and present, while wisdom deals with its application to life in the future. So prophecy speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. Knowledge reveals truth from the present or the past, but wisdom deals with the application of that knowledge to future life. There are many, many Old Testament examples of the word of wisdom operating, and because there's so much content in the study that I have on the gifts of the Spirit, I'm not going to read every scripture for you, but I'm going to list them so that you have the opportunity to then go back and look up these references. But before we even get to references, in the Old Testament, we saw the word of wisdom operating when God gave the law to Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai. We saw the word of wisdom operating with Joseph and his brothers bowing down and the famine that was coming. We see the word of wisdom operating about future things that were going to happen. There was Jonah. And the word that he received to go to Nineveh, that was a revelation of the purpose of God, the direction and the application moving forward, you see. There is Daniel, who saw things to come in terms of symbols and figures, giving him understanding of the times. So those are Old Testament examples of how the word of wisdom operated in a forward-thinking and revealing way. Many New Testament examples of the word of wisdom. So Agabus in Acts 11 spoke of the coming hardship and the provision that was to be made to save the poor saints from unnecessary suffering. And he revealed to Paul that he would be bound when he finally arrived at Jerusalem. So these are words spoken about what is to come. Jesus speaking to his disciples in Luke 5 about fish and about men. About in Matthew 21, there's a word of wisdom about transportation. In Acts 6, 1-4, word of wisdom about ministry. In Acts 8, 26-30, word of wisdom about a road and a chariot. In Acts 10, verses 9 to 16, a word of wisdom about people God wanted to save. There's a word of wisdom in Acts 15 about the law versus grace. And in Acts 16, verses 6 to 10, about location, specific location. These are all words of wisdom. Now let's talk about the word of knowledge. My short definition of a word of knowledge is supernatural intel about things past and present. Supernatural intel about things past and present. We see in the Bible words of knowledge, again, about character and location in John 1, verses 47 to 48, about personal history in John 4, verses 15 to 19. About dishonesty in Acts 5, 1 to 11. We have a word of knowledge about a chosen servant of God in Acts 9, 10 to 12. I have a word of knowledge that gives confirmation in Acts 10, 19 to 21. And a word of knowledge about preparation in Acts 20, verses 22 to 23. So oftentimes when You maybe have heard people refer to someone reading their mail, someone, you know, telling them about their life or about their past. That's the word of knowledge operating. That's supernatural intel about the past or the present. Then there is the discerning of spirits. That's the last of the three revelation gifts. And the most dominant of the three, I believe. The definition of discerning of spirits, I mean, there are long theological definitions, but I like to just kind of give like my just short personal definition, and I would what I would call the discerning of spirits is divine perception. Divine perception. I mentioned earlier that the discerning of spirits was the first manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament, in John chapter 1. And Jesus was the catalyst to spring the gifts forth. We see in John, I'm going to read some of these verses, John 1, 29. These are on John chapter 1, verse 29, verses 32 to 34, verse 47, verse 51. So John 1, 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What is that? That's the discerning of spirits. You see, the first part of discerning spirits is discerning who Jesus is. Discerning the Spirit of Christ. And that was taking place in what John said when he saw Jesus coming toward him. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now verses 32 to 34. "And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he whom baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" So we see the first part of discerning of spirits is discerning who Jesus is, or the Spirit of Jesus. And then secondly, John saw what other people didn't see. This is the discerning of spirits. He was told, "Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes in the Holy Spirit." So John saw that. He saw the Spirit descending and remaining upon Jesus. That was the discerning of spirits. And then in John 1:47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." So Jesus was discerning the spirit of Nathanael, saying, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." That's discernment. And then in John 1:51, Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." That's discerning. That's discerning of spirits. So you have here in John 1, the discerning of spirits in John 1, 29 to 33. I misspoke. Let me back up for a moment. The discerning of spirits refers to more than just the discerning of evil spirits. And most people think that the discerning of spirits has to do with discerning of evil spirits, but that's just 1/4 or 25% of discernment. You have the discerning of the Spirit of Jesus, John 1, 29 to 33. You have the discerning of angels, John 1, 50 to 51. You have the discerning of the spirit of man in John 1:47. And then you have the discerning of fallen angels or evil spirits. You see in Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 and 33. Let me turn to that one real quick. Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 and 33. "As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, 'It was never seen like this in Israel.'" What's happening here? You have a mute who is actually possessed by a devil. And Jesus discerned that. And it was necessary. He had to be able to discern the cause of the illness in order to know how to deal with it. He discerned the root. And you see, and there are many times people have physical manifestations. I've seen people with pain in their body, headaches, vision problems that are all dealing with demonic possession or oppression. And if you don't discern that, then you're just going to pray for healing, but you're not going to get to the root. You're not going to get to the cause of what's going on. So the discerning of fallen angels or evil spirits is critical to get to the root. Jesus healed a woman in Luke 13, but he had to be able to discern the cause of her illness to know how to deal with it. So that's discernment. It's significant. It's powerful. And we're going to come to the close here pretty soon, but how do you cultivate discernment? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 5:14, solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Very few of us begin operating in the gifts perfectly the first time. And some people are such perfectionists that they'll never do anything unless they know that they can do it right the first time. And this is a problem with many people concerning the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit. They think if they can't prophesy like Isaiah, then they just won't prophesy at all. And it's really absurd. I mean, who even knows how Isaiah began? How strong was his prophetic ministry from day one? How much prophetic training and use took place within Isaiah before he ever got to the place where God spoke and prophesied through him the book of Isaiah that we have? But based on Hebrews 5:14, discernment, and I would expect many other gifts, can be cultivated by these two things. And let me read Hebrews 5:14 one more time. But solid food belongs to those who are full age or mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So based on Hebrews 5:14, discernment, and I would expect any gift would operate and be developed the same way. It can be cultivated by solid food and by reason of use. So good, solid, biblical teaching and understanding and foundation on the gifts and the operations, the administrations of the gifts. And then by reason of use. You have to actually grow and develop these gifts just like you would any, you know, football or basketball or sporting fundamentals and you know, developing those aspects of the game. Or just like you would in any area and arena, a cook or a chef. They didn't just become a chef by just deciding they wanted to cook and they like cooking. But there's training involved and there's study and then there's lots of practice, reason of use. So I want you to be encouraged when it comes to these gifts of the Spirit. First of all, pursue God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then begin to just ask God to give you these gifts. But then be faithful to train and grow and study, to show thyself approved, and to practice by reason of use. They had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So that's the revelation gifts. Now, the next grouping of gifts are the utterance gifts. The utterance gifts help us talk like God. And then we'll get to the power gifts of helping us act like God. I'll dive into the first one, prophecy, and then we'll probably wrap up this episode, and we'll pick back up with a part two that hopefully, Lord willing, I can get us through all nine of the gifts in part two. But in the utterance gifts that help us talk like God, there's prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, prophecy is not just inspired preaching. And neither does prophecy proceed from human reasoning or learning or education or seminary training. Like all other gifts, prophecy is made possible only by the supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit. I grow very leery of Bible teachers and preachers that try to distill something like a gift of the Spirit down to something that can be apprehended by natural ability. Prophecy doesn't come from human reasoning, learning, education, seminary training, or anything else. It is a supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I cannot stress enough that you can't just, through head knowledge, move into the operation of the Spirit. You must pursue and receive the supernatural baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's no getting around it. You can't skip over the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just go directly to the gifts of the Spirit. It's critical. It's not just critical. It doesn't work any other way. We're talking about a supernatural operation of the Spirit. And so we might as well get this out of the way. Christianity is a supernatural religion. You cannot have faith to be a Christian if you don't have faith to believe that Christianity is supernatural. We believe in a God who created the world in 6 days. We believe that he sent his one and only Son. It's called the incarnation. God became flesh. He sent him to the world through the virgin birth. We believe that Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit as a virgin, and she brought forth the Son, Jesus, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. It's supernatural. We believe in his miracles and his healings that he performed, and that he gave his life to be crucified, nailed to a cross, where he died, was buried, and on the third day rose from the grave. It's all supernatural. You can't be a Christian. This is the basis, this is the foundation for the Christian faith. This is what the Christian faith is built upon. Without these basic foundational tenets, there is no Christian faith. Christianity is not just praying some kind of prayer or joining a church and then just picking and choosing and deciding, you know, if you're going to believe in gifts or operate in them or anything else. It's all supernatural. Being born again is a spiritual rebirth. So the gifts of the Spirit are only made possible by the supernatural operation of the Spirit, which began in drawing you to Christ, and which was instrumental in the very, what's called theologically, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, first seen on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And then the gifts of the Spirit. So as we bring this episode to a close, what is your faith in? Is your faith in a supernatural God who has done everything the Bible says he did? Or is your faith in some kind of a man-made, man-concocted religion that's powerless? I want you to experience all that God has for you. So as you listen to this episode, if you've never actually received Jesus Christ as your Savior, or maybe you've recognized that you have really been believing in some kind of a counterfeit religion, and you really need to seek God's forgiveness and really, really rededicate your life to Him, you can do that right now. I want to lead you through a simple prayer of salvation that brings you through a process of recognizing your own sinfulness. Jesus said the sin of this world is its unbelief. Your sin may be unbelief. Recognizing your sin, repenting of that sin, and by faith receiving the free gift of salvation offered through Jesus Christ. If you'd like to do that, get serious with God and serious in your pursuit of the fullness of all that He has for you, pray this prayer with me right now. Just repeat this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I believe Jesus died for my sin, and He rose from the grave to give me victory over sin and death. I confess my sinfulness. I repent. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family of God. And please go to our website at revivalnow.com. This is really important. Go to revivalnow.com. You'll find a big red button on the front page that says, I just got saved. Click that button, and it'll give you the opportunity to fill out your contact information. And if you fill out your contact information, I'm going to send some resources to you to help you get started in your Christian life. And that's all your information will be used for. I'm going to send some resources to you, help you get started in your Christian life. I'm going to pray for you by name. And that's all. So go to revivalnow.com, click I just got saved, and follow the prompts from there. Well, hey, thank you for joining me in this episode. I trust that it's been helpful to you. We're going to pick up with part two in the next episode, and we're going to finish out the gifts of the Spirit, the last six gifts of the Spirit. And I know that it'll be a blessing to you. And so make sure that you tune in for the next one. Look for it. It'll be on all your podcasting platforms, and we'll get it out to you very soon. So until next time, be blessed in Jesus' name.